Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith. We've been focusing on voting rights issues and the remarkable contributions of one voting rights activist named John Gideon. John Gideon died in April of meningitis at the age of 62. This time we focus more on the problems identified with electronic voting machines, as people like John Gideon spent countless hours poring over information about elections. We hear from longtime investigative reporter, Pacifica radio producer, and researcher Pokey Anderson. For 6 years, she co-produced the Monitor radio show at Pacifica station KPFT in Texas.
It's hard to imagine two of the most valuable people in this election integrity movement, Ellen Tyson and Brad Friedman, being able to accomplish what they've accomplished so far without John Gideon.
And we'll be hearing again from Ellen Tyson, director of Voters Unite, and Brad Friedman of Brad Blog. These are but a few of the many people John Gideon worked with as he documented technical problems with voting machines and the growing security crisis for U.S. voting systems in general. The body of John Gideon's thousands of pages of work is now a historical record on voting technologies, the many failures that have occurred during elections, and what people using the machines or manning them at the polls have said about them. Many of the system's failures, failures with oversight, challenges to bring a paper ballot to every state, and challenges over the profit-minded vendors or manufacturers are documented by John Gideon and also people like Pokey Anderson, Brad Friedman, Ellen Tyson. We'll hear how activists like John Gideon challenged the system and won in some cases as he sought to restore voting integrity. There have been victories, large and small, in states like Florida, Ohio, and California. Secretaries of state all over the country have been rethinking direct record e-technology, the DRE, or touchscreen voting machine, that has caused so many problems in the country. For the moment, state officials may find themselves stuck with costly machines and no money to replace them. As of March 2009, 1 month prior to his death, activist John Gideon had been analyzing a new bill put forward by Congressman Rush Holt. It would offer a timeline for replacing all DREs with paper ballots or a non-tabulating ballot marking device, BMD, in every polling place. Experts in the struggle for a verified paper ballot have been offering detailed critiques of the bill. You can read the critique by John Gideon and Ellen Tyson at Voters Unite online at votersunite.org. The goal of the bill would be to allow voters to privately and independently verify and cast the permanent paper ballot. But there are still some difficulties with the details on ballot handling. If it passes, the bill will formalize a process that has already been taking place on a state-by-state basis, as officials have been learning the hard way how DRE technology is failure-prone and unworkable for safe or verifiable elections where any voter could readily see how the results were obtained.
Election reform. The media swings. Election reform. Do they steal? Do they rob? Election reform. Gotta look to the blogs. The founding fathers, they would be heartbroken if they thought the people had not spoken. It's a crime.
We turn first to Ellen Tyson, who explains how one of the research areas for she and John Gideon concerned vote counting software and memory cards, the election management system. States like California, Connecticut, Vermont, New Hampshire, Florida, and others using AccuVote optical scan machines, or DREs, manufactured by Diebold, have faced serious technical problems that in many cases went completely unknown.
Because it has to do with the election management system, it affects information that's uploaded from either the scanner or the electronic voting machine, the touchscreen. So it's very widespread, and it is in the GEMS version, I think it's 1.18.19 and earlier. So any of the jurisdictions using that election management system, regardless of whether they're using scanners or touchscreens has the problem that it will delete an entire deck of information without notification to the user under certain circumstances, common circumstances. I believe it was if you delete a later deck that has been uploaded in order to re-upload it because you found that there were additional ballots that needed to be scanned or somehow there was a mistake, then it just deletes the first one you uploaded without letting you know.
What were you and John Gideon advising state officials to do at this point where there's so much data now about computer failures in the voting machines?
There are a lot of steps that could be taken immediately. One that I think is very important is they need to take advantage of whatever computer expertise is in their community to do as much as possible to, well, for one thing, do the ballot programming, which is setting up the machine uniquely for a very specific election. That's the software component that translates the touches on a screen or the marks on a ballot into actual votes. In many cases, many jurisdictions use the vendors to do that ballot programming. That is a real problem. And so there's a lot that jurisdictions could be doing to make themselves more vendor independent, even in the current climate. And I believe that states should be working to develop their own systems that would be open to the public, owned by the public, and administered by the state, so that if corporations decided they weren't going to continue building this particular component anymore, it wouldn't leave the jurisdictions in a bind and other things.
As you were talking about all of this, it occurred to me to ask you if there had been any interest expressed in asking the Obama administration for some money to build as infrastructure a new organizational effort, you know, statewide and also national, that can take this on independently of any of these service corporations. Why can't the federal government fund this and integrate the system with the federal election enforcement commissions and the state offices, you know, in similar capacities?
That's an interesting thought. I'm not sure that I have heard someone suggest that, but there are a lot of people who are suggesting that we do need to get away from vendors. In the new election reform bill that is being proposed by Congressman Rush Holt, they are also proposing financial aid for developing open systems that then would be available. So there is some thinking in that direction, I think, as people begin to realize more and more that we need to get away from vendor dependence.
Ellen Tyson directs Voters Unite, votersunite.org, and you can write to her at ellen@votersunite.org. We are memorializing disabled Vietnam War veteran, voting rights activist, father and grandfather John Gideon with this program, which is part two of a special on his work. You can find both portions of this program online at talknationradio.org. In addition to his expertise on voting machines and the technical side of things, John Gideon was also skilled when it came to inspiring many new voting rights activists who came to rely on him to clarify the issues. Here he is on the net radio show Voice of the Voters with Mary Ann Gould.
If they're optically scanned or hand counted, you have the paper ballots there that you can go back if there's any questions at all. You can go back and recount them. If you're using a DRE, even if it's got a VVPAT printer, toilet paper printer that's underneath an opaque cover that people don't lift up and people don't verify their ballot, so you really don't have anything. We're just saying count the paper and not the electrons.
John Gideon, co-director with Ellen Tyson at Voters Unite, a nonpartisan group that works to ensure the integrity of U.S. elections. He was author of The Daily Voting News, a newsletter documenting voting problems all over the country, and his goal was to help voters, state officials, activists, and political leaders see the extent of the problem, a goal he largely achieved. And now Voters Unite is working to keep his newsletter going. That's good news, especially in states where voting machines remain an intractable problem. In Connecticut and other New England states, the manufacturer or vendor of the voting machines, is Diebold, or Premier Election Solutions, the state using optical scan voting machines. We will link to a variety of stories about the use of these machines and the subcontractor for the state, LHS Associates of Methuen, Mass., on our website, talknationradio.org. You can also learn more about the state of Connecticut at websites like CT Voters Count, True Vote CT, ctnewsjunkie.org, and My Left Nutmeg. And of course, you can also learn more about the national story of voting machines and voting rights at Brad Blog. Here is Brad Friedman, who spoke about John Gideon, his dear friend, fellow blogger, and fellow voting rights activist.
We are supposed to have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I've certainly said for many years that, you know, unless the people step up and demand accountability from their officials, then we're going to, well, continue to be in the mess that we're in. But it doesn't take a lot for, you know, citizens to pay attention, to figure out, you know, who are making these decisions, and to hold them accountable, even if it's by, you know, by email, asking them questions, by phone.
We have spoken, as you know, with Ellen Tyson. Of course, she's the founder of Voters Unite. That group is going to continue on now without John Gideon. She has pointed out, though, that he really did want elections to be run by the people. And just a quick question about that. I mean, we have been seeing bankers in the news and various kinds of corporations being questioned, you know, like GM, for the first time in many decades, I think, in America. Questions being raised about the integrity of corporations and the role they play in running the country. But what about these voting machine corporations and the vendors that, you know, provide these services? How would you characterize the kinds of reports that John Gideon prepared about all of these complex topics? But more than that, about the essence of the question of how can Americans run elections more effectively themselves?
Well, the story that John told, as I wrote about in my initial tribute to him when I had the unfortunate privilege, I suppose, of reporting his passing, was that he told a story through his Daily Voting News, which was a simple collection of links to the day's notable election stories from around the country that seemed to be sort of disparate stories, local stories, but when they were combined together, over time, this picture began to emerge of a public election system that has been taken over completely by private corporations, and private corporations who had failed the voters time and time again. John had called for these corporate entities to get the hell out of our electoral system so that the people once again could oversee their own elections, and they wouldn't be told, oh, well, you're not allowed to look at that. You can't see if your election was counted accurately because that's a proprietary trade secret. I mean, the corporate control over our public elections is a national shame. And John has been saying that for years. Ellen, his partner at VotersUnite.org, had put together some marvelous reports speaking to exactly these issues and just how dependent election officials have become on these private vendors, to the point where, frankly, if some of these corporations went bankrupt tomorrow, and a number of them may be looking at something exactly like that in the near future, we could get to the point where democracy is crippled, because most of the elections in this country can no longer run by the election officials and the people alone. They have come to rely on these corporations. I think that's an incredibly dangerous place for this country to be. And John recognized that very early on and was one of the loudest and most effective as far as getting that word out and saying, hey, folks, we have gone off a cliff here. We're looking at a train wreck where we're relying on these corporate outfits instead of government local entities, which actually can be overseen by the public to run public elections.
That was Brad Friedman of Brad Blog. It's bradblog.com. Pokey Anderson has broadcast or published numerous reports on voting machine problems and issues over the years. You can find her comprehensive report dated May 27th, 2007, at votersunite.org. The report is titled, Peering Through Chinks in the Armor of High-Tech Elections. Pokey Anderson also knew John Gideon and worked with him on various stories about the voting machines and U.S. electoral systems. Pokey Anderson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Why don't you describe a little bit about yourself, your radio work, and how you came to know John Gideon?
Well, I first started reporting on KPFT in Houston on issues around how we count votes in this country in 2003. And at that time, you could probably put everybody that was actively pursuing these issues into a small van and probably still have room for a Boy Scout troop. And John, he came to my attention because he started doing reporting in the Daily Voting News. I guess his first one was February in 2004. And since that time, up till just the last few days before he died, he probably did, and I don't know how to really count, but probably between 10,000 and 20,000 articles that he had reviewed. And that's just the ones he included. So it's an immense amount of work that he did. And it was just, he was always there. He was always doing the work. And you could just call him up and say, you know, what about this? Or can you remember back, and do you remember whether it was Fort Worth or Arkansas where something happened? And he usually would remember, or he could find it. So he had this, it was almost like a central brain unit for the election integrity movement where, you know, you just go, well, I can't remember it, and it's not my computer, so maybe John will know. John was sort of the early warning system because he was looking at so many things. I'd love you to listen to John after he just discovered something, and he's excited, and yet another vendor's system has been hacked by computer scientists. This was at Princeton, this particular one.
I was stunned last night when I read this article, and it's since been picked up by the Associated Press, and I had to call Brad. I had to call somebody. It was 10:30 at night here on the West Coast, but I had to call somebody. So I called Brad, and unfortunately I wasn't able to get to him, but I did leave a message for him. It was just amazing. I ended up blogging it last night, and then Brad cleaned things up and Friedmanized it, like I like to say, so that it's enjoyable to read. But I'm sure that this is going to end up going much further now. You know, I've talked to people today who are going to be talking to people like Lou Dobbs and everything else and try to get this out. Yeah, it's just an amazing story.
John Gideon there. Obviously, a lot of enthusiasm, and he was speaking to you again for KPFT Texas. Pokey Anderson, what was this all about?
He's, you know, like a little boy at Christmas. He's like, look what happened. I got to tell everybody. And then everybody, you know, then the first layer of everybody would put that into context along with other information that had already been gleaned by various people and then try to get that out to the world. And Professor Appel at Princeton and his team bought 5 Sequoia voting machines. They were able to break into the security in 7 seconds. And this is a quote from Andrew Appel in the New Jersey Star-Ledger. This is what John was excited about that he had just found. We can take a version of Sequoia's software program and modify it to do something different, like appear to count votes, but really move them from one candidate to another. And it can be programmed to do that only on Tuesdays in November and at any other time. You can't detect it. Again, Professor Andrew Appel of Princeton, professor of computer science. This was February 2007.
One of those aha moments, I guess, when what people have been supposing is suddenly there in print and has been proven by an expert. Just about the voting machine story in general, I mean, it's true, I think, that with this story, it's been difficult to hold the attention of a lot of Americans because, first of all, you have to refer to a lot of details, a lot of history. The mainstream press has not picked it up in the way that it should have, so there's not a general understanding out there of just how serious these problems are, and there's a lot of supposition. I mean, it's hard to really pinpoint who to blame. The sort of layers involved in that question are quite difficult to unfold, aren't they?
You don't want to point a finger, but you need to be an octopus here with a lot of fingers, or whoever has a lot of fingers, centipede. to point all the fingers at all the right places, because this is a problem at the local level, at the state level, and at the national level. It's also a problem of media not covering this issue properly or with any context. Media that doesn't connect the dots, they may report a local story that says, oh, our computers broke today on election day, but they don't know that one county over the same thing happened, or one state over the same thing happened with the exact same equipment. People like John Gideon, Alan Tyson putting together a problem log at votersunite.org, they could identify the problem. But we tried in Texas to grab somebody by the collar and get something to happen, and it was like no matter which level you attacked, they would say, we can't do that because we're constrained. You have to go to this other level. It was this little merry-go-round, you know, you ask the local, and you say, oh, no, it's the state. They're the ones that make these rules, and then you go to there, and they'd say, oh, well, no, that's the certification people, or that's the feds, and then you go to the feds and say, oh, well, that's, you know, around and around you go. I'd love to have a chance to read to you a tribute by Lowell Finley, who was an activist in California, a very good one, and he worked with voter action in litigation. And then he became the Deputy Secretary of State in California. So he got to see two sides of the coin, the activist side and the election official side. He got to know John during the time when he was a private citizen. He says, quote, I often called upon his extensive knowledge for answers to questions about specific voting systems and problems that arose in their use across the country. He usually had the answer immediately. If not, he would call back soon with the needed information. John also contacted Voter Action when he came across information he thought might be of particular value. These behind-the-scenes contributions played a very important role in Voter Action's litigation efforts. John did the same for many individuals and organizations, all while putting together the indispensable daily voting news. John continued to be a positive influence when I became a state elections official. I learned, sometimes painfully, what it was like to be on the receiving end of John's demands for accountability and transparency in the administration of elections. That was Lowell Finley. You know, a guy like John leaves this huge hole because not everybody has the stomach and the persistence to go to these election officials who have, frankly, sometimes treated citizens like dirt. They have prevented citizens from observing elections. They've had them arrested in several states for just attempting to observe the counting of the votes. It's been an amazing series of stories to try to get these officials to do their jobs. And certainly John was one of the ones who was out front trying to get the EAC to do its job. And frankly, for my money, you know, here's John working 365 days a year for no pay. He was far more valuable to getting our votes cast and counted correctly than the EAC, which had, what, a $10 million budget? A huge budget.
Ohio Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner has filed a counterclaim in a lawsuit with Diebold, Premier Election Solutions, asking for damages, including punitive ones, for voting machine malfunctions. And she mentions some specifics, problems with dropped votes when memory cards were uploaded to the server. Let's take that example of something that, you know, turned into a lawsuit. All the information about that might have never come to light had it not been for voting rights activists tracking problems with these memory cards and even pointing it out to some officials working at these polls that there was more of a problem than they might have realized. So where would John Gideon come in a story like that? I mean, I would imagine any number of cases where he documented memory card problems, because when I was looking at the state of Connecticut, I went to his website and looked over his work to find out information.
Well, absolutely. I mean, bear in mind that many important elections in this country are won or lost by a small percentage, you know, 1%, 3%. I mean, that's, you know, when you're talking even 10%, that's supposedly a landslide. So we're talking about a small percentage of voters, and you know, if one machine per precinct is messed up, it could definitely flip an election. It could change who the next president is. And it's been the activists who have found patterns, not just memory cards, but sometimes patterns were, for instance, in Ohio in 2004, there was strange things were happening in certain precincts where people of color were voting. In New Mexico, strange things were happening where Native Americans were voting. Like, you know, only 7% turnout at a precinct. Things that didn't make any sense. This has been the John Gideons of the world, the Ellen Tysons of the world, certainly Brad Friedman, and, you know, our little group of reporters that cover this, not so much in the mainstream, but we do our best. We get the biggest megaphone we can find and say, hey, this stuff doesn't add up. There's something wrong here.
What victories can you cite, or what ongoing work is there that you can talk about a little bit?
I think it's just been a pecking away. Each day that goes by, maybe another person understands a little bit more about this. Maybe another reporter gets a clue. Maybe another election official gets a clue. Or maybe they get unelected and a different person takes their place who actually campaigned on a platform of transparency and fairness in election. It's been a very gradual kind of thing. I think lots of us would rather see, you know, that magic bullet that, oh, this is the story that's going to make everybody turn their heads and say, oh, yes, we must change these election systems. They don't work. And so far, we haven't had that story, but there have been a lot of steps along the way that have been encouraging. Certainly getting very good movies out there on DVD about elections. Somebody like Lou Dobbs picking up and doing series on elections that really helps to get the word out. So somebody like Robert Kennedy Jr. John came on my show, The Monitor, on KPFT, right after Bobby Kennedy Jr. had written a really good piece in Rolling Stone, just footnote after footnote documenting problems in the Ohio election. So things like that really help. And I think, I hope that the general public gets it now, that people like John and the rest are not just a bunch of Looney Tunes out there screaming gibberish. This is real stuff. And I still don't know what it takes. I think actually most people are pretty skeptical about the way we count votes in this country, but they aren't the ones that are in office. I do know that what happens inside of a computer that counts votes is not observable. And so to the extent that any of those things can be wrong or stolen, there is no reason, no matter who wins an election, there is no reason to rest until we have a system where any junior high student can go to a precinct or a central counting place and watch an election and understand and be sure that it was fair. You shouldn't have to be a computer scientist with private secret access to code to understand whether or not an election was fair.
Pokey Anderson, until recently the co-producer of The Monitor at KPFT, the Pacifica station in Texas. She will be continuing to produce radio, research, write about elections, voting machines, and more.
Election reform, it ain't about winning. Election reform, that's a brand new beginning. Y'all won't hear us yelling about a voter fraud fix if people listen and work in 2006. We're going back to fair politics. Is that an oxymoron? Election reform.
For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dory Smith. This program produced at the Talk Nation Radio Studios in Storrs, Connecticut. TalkNationRadio.org for transcripts, audio, and discussions. You can write to us at TalkNationRadio@gmail.com. Our music is by Shannon Williford, Election Reform. Talk Nation Radio's theme song is by Fritz Heed, FritzHeed.com.